Proverbs chapter 3, tonight reading verse 29 and verse 30. Next week we'll finish this chapter. We're verse 29 and verse 30. I'm taking our title of our message actually from verse 30. We're just going to title this Strife. In verse 29, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Father, we come to you again tonight. We thank you for the privilege to be able to assemble together. Lord, we thank you for thy word. And Lord, we pray tonight that as we look at this text and these verses, Lord, that you'll teach us, Lord, that you will lead us in righteousness and truth. Lord, that it will draw us nigh unto thee, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we were in verse 27 and 28. We titled that Benevolence. And tonight we're going to be titling this Strife, or Dealing with Strife. It's just a wonderful thing when we come to the Scriptures and an expository teaching. God gives us what we want, and sometimes He gives the subject sometimes over and over again. This is different from what we did dealt with Sunday night, but still yet there's relations with this. And that's one thing about reading through the Scriptures, and the Lord will repeat Himself. He might come at it from a little bit different angle, but He'll keep teaching us some of the things over and over again that we need. Well, first of all, notice in verse 29, and then we'll get to our subject, actually, from verse 30. But in verse 29, he says, say not unto... Let me get to verse 29. I'm reading verse 28. Verse 29, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Now, this passage is talking about our neighbors securely dwelling among us. In other words, he's speaking of someone who trusts us, someone that we know, and dwelling securely. In other words, secure in your friendship or your relationship with them. And he says, devise not evil. The word evil here has to do with mischief, to oppress or to take advantage of someone. So when he says, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. In Deuteronomy 27:24 says, cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. And also we find that in Jeremiah, I'm going to give you just a few scriptures and then we're going to come to verse 30. But in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 18 through 20, Jeremiah suffered from his neighbor, that is his own people. He suffered from those that he should have been able to trust as a prophet among the children of Israel, God's covenant people. In Psalms 35, verses 17 through 20, David also suffered from Saul, King Saul, someone who was his neighbor, someone he knew. And he also suffered from his own son, one of his own sons, and those that were near him. He should never have had to suffer from them. And then in Psalms, one last passage on this, Psalms 55 and verse 20, it says, he hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his commandment. So when he says here in verse 29, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee, those that we are neighbors with or associated with that trust us. You know, neighbors have a tendency, and it's normal to trust one another, and so we're not to ever do a neighbor wrong. Well, notice now in verse 30, and this is really what I want to focus in on. He says in verse 30, strive not with a man without cause if he have done thee no harm. In other words, don't be picking a fight. And when he says without cause, that is without any real meaning. That which does not have biblical basis or a biblical principle. In other words, we can contend for the faith, but we are to never be contentious. We'll never be contentious. And we are all prone to this right here, with striving. As a matter of fact, it's born in us of the Adamic nature. We're all prone to strife. We find that strife has destroyed many marriages and many families. And it's destroyed many nations. Nations go to war because of strife. And churches, we'll read a passage in Galatians, churches can or have been destroyed just simply because of strife. Now the word strife here, we're going to look at several verses tonight, beginning here in Proverbs, then Genesis, and then go into the New Testament. But the word strife here has many synonyms. It speaks of bitter conflict and discord. Or it can have to do with a volatile disagreement with someone. It can mean contentious, struggle, or to clash with someone. It can be verbal, physical, or even legal fighting. In 1 Corinthians 6, we know that there were legal strife among some of the folks in the church at Corinth. They were taking one another to court. And so strife is deeper than just a simple argument. It's broader than just disagreement. One writer said, "The strife usually involves bitterness and sometimes violence." And this is so true. And as we're going to look into the Scriptures, it always involves pride and anger. Now, let's read this again, and then we're going to turn to where we're going to look at several verses in Proverbs of this warning that God has given to us about striving with someone else. And he says here, verse 30 again, "Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm." Let's first of all, let's go to chapter 10. Let's go through about 6 or 7, maybe 8 verses in the book of Proverbs. And then we'll look at some other passages and we'll close in the New Testament. The Bible has a lot to say in the New Testament as well. We find here as we come to chapter 10, and I'm reading, I'm just going to pick out 1 or 2 verses in each of these texts we're going to. In chapter 10, first of all, notice with me in verse 12, it says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." Notice hatred is a source of strife, but we find here that love is the solution. Love covers, not necessarily hides something, but we find that love can overlook a lot of things. Turn with me to chapter 13. Notice with me as we come to chapter 13. We'll read in verse 10. Chapter 13 in verse 10. And we're going to find here that pride always accompanies strife. It says here in verse 10, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with a well-advised," notice, "is wisdom." We find here again, pride is always, we'll see this again in another passage. Chapter 15. Chapter 15, reading first of all in verse 1. Chapter 15, verse 1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Now come down with me to verse 18, and it says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife." Now, God's given us warning about striving with one another. And here we see where this comes from. It comes from pride. It comes from anger. And this passage, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife." In other words, a hot-tempered person stirs up strife. And notice with me as we come to chapter 17. In chapter 17, we're going to read 2 different verses in this chapter. First of all, notice with me in verse 14. Now, I'm just picking out some verses mainly on this word, strive or strife. He said in verse 14, "The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it is meddled with." In other words, strife is hard to stop once it begins. And that's the ideal in this passage. It is easier to stop it before it ever begins. But once it starts, it's sort of like a little leak in a bucket or a leak, let's say, in a dam. And once that breaks forth, it's out of control. That pressure from that little leak can destroy a whole dam. In other words, it needs to be plugged up before it ever gets started. And that's the ideal here. He says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Notice again in this same chapter, we're looking at verse 19. It says, he loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gates seeketh destruction. So we see here in this passage that transgression and strife go hand in hand. You see this again in chapter 18 and in verse 6. Notice in chapter 20, the Lord deals with this a lot because he knows that we're prone to this. It is born in us. We find here in chapter 20 and verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. So we see here in this passage that fools love strife. They'll always be meddling with it, and it is not to be meddled with. Notice in chapter 22. In chapter 22, I'm reading in verse 10. He says here in this passage, he says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. So there's usually always somebody instigating strife. And we find here that cast out the scorner, and then contention shall go away, yea, and strife and reproof shall cease. Notice again in chapter 25. In chapter 25, I'm reading from verse 8. In chapter 25, in verse 8, he says, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. In other words, these verses, verse 9, deals with debate, and verse 10 is connected with this as well, strife and debate. And so he's saying in these passages for us not to rush in, not to be hasty about this, not to rush in to strife and debate. In other words, leave it alone, stay away from it. And it's easy for us to get caught up in this and rush into it and get involved and give our opinion about something. Well, notice again in chapter 26. In chapter 26, we come to verse 20. I'll read these three verses together. Verse 20, 21, 22. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Simple truth, isn't it? So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. That is, down into the soul and emotions of a person. So words wounds just like fist or anything else. But you'll notice again in verse 20 that the talebearer, that's the one who is a whisperer or a liar. And he says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out, so where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. So this is how we can avoid strife, is staying away from the talebearers. Now turn with me, please, to chapter 28. In chapter 28, you ever wonder why God keeps repeating things? I think it's because we're hard-headed sometimes. In chapter 28, in verse 25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Now, we've already seen this once. Pride is always associated with strife. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. So again, very important verse here. Pride and strife are companions with one another. Notice in chapter 29. In chapter 29, we read in verse 22. It says, "An angry man stirreth up strife." We've already seen that. A wrathful man, an angry man. He said, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." So, strife comes from anger, it comes from pride, and it is a sin against God, and it is a sin against others. Well, notice again, as we come to chapter 30, in chapter 30 and verse 33, this is why that we're told in chapter 4 and verse 23. God tells us in this chapter, and I'm not asking you to turn there, but it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We're to guard our heart because out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life here are all things, whether it be crisis, problems, whatever the case may be. In other words, they all come from the heart. So we're to guard that. Now notice in chapter 30, I'm reading the last verse in verse 33. He said, "Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife." He gives us three things here about forcing something. If you don't want butter or blood or wrath, then leave it all alone. Think about this. He says here, "Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter." That's a fact. And some would not understand this. I have sat with my grandmother growing up many times churning butter. Sometimes it takes hours to do that. And if you got two people, it works real well. One churn for about 5 minutes, pass it off. You don't stop. You just pass it off the other and you sit there and just keep doing that. And you can rest assured, if you churn milk, it will bring forth butter. Okay? Another thing, "And the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood." That's a fact. We know that. So that's how you know the Bible's true. Amen? Amen. You wring your nose, it's going to bring forth blood. And then the last thing, "So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife." In other words, these are just three principles that are laid out, and he's focusing in on the fact, don't meddle with strife. Don't be forcing this because it will come to pass. Now, notice with me in Genesis. I'm reading in Genesis chapter 13. This is a story of Abraham and Lot and their herdsmen. Genesis chapter 13. I want to come down to beginning about verse 5. In verse 5, I not only want to show you the strife that happened between Abraham and Lot's herdsmen, but I want you to notice Abraham's solution. Verse 5, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. The land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle." Down to verse 8, "And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren." And of course, you know what he did here. He told Lot to make his choices, and whatever direction he went, that he would go in the opposite. In other words, Abraham was concerned about the strife. He was concerned that there'd be no strife between him and his nephew and their herdsmen. And so he allowed God to make his decision in this. He gave Lot the choice. And we know the choice that Lot made. And you see that in verse 11, especially verse 10 and 11. They separated company, so the strife went away. But I want you to notice now in verse 12, It says, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can count the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. In other words, he blessed him. The Bible said, verse 17, arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, and which is in Hebron. And he says here, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So we find that Abraham dealt with strife properly, and God honored him for this. And we also know that Abraham was an altar builder. He was a worshiper of God. So he diffused the problem here by allowing God to choose what land that he would dwell in. Turn with me to the New Testament and notice here as we come into the New Testament. We're going to the book of Luke, first of all. I made mention of this just a week or so ago. So we'll just come and read one verse. This is the night before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they come and observe the Passover. We see the institution of the Lord's Supper. And notice with me, just coming to verse 24, you can read the context later, but we see strife among the disciples. We see this again in Luke 9, verse 46 through 48. And we see it again in Mark chapter 9 and verse 34. What we're going to read here is that the disciples, there was some strife among them as who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And we know that in John 13, the same context where in the upper room where the Lord washed the feet of the disciples, we did read this just recently, that Jesus was teaching them a lesson in humility and love and servanthood. But here's verse 24. It says, and there were also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. So there was strife among these disciples. Notice in Romans, in the book of Romans, in chapter 13. So this is the night that the Lord washes their feet and teaches them a valuable lesson. Notice in Romans chapter 13, I'm going to begin reading from verse 10 through verse 14. Verse 13, we have again the subject of strife and envying. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, strife does work ill toward our neighbor. He says, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of the sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in a day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh for to fulfill the lust thereof. So the way that we can deal with strife is walking honestly in the day, putting on the armor of light, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, and not making provision for the flesh. So we find here that strife and envying are connected together. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we know that this was a problem in the church at Corinth that had to be dealt with. We know that it's dealt with at least twice in 1 and 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, we know that in chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, Paul addresses, the apostle here addresses the issue of divisions and contentions. He refers to it as contentions in verse 11 of chapter 1 that is in the church. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3, he said, "My brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. Verse 3 now. The reason I'm reading this, I want you to notice that strife is a sign of carnality. It's fleshy. And it destroys the unity in the church. So strife will not only destroy a marriage or a home, it not only will destroy nations, they go to war and fight each other physically because of strife, but it can destroy a church. And there were divisions in this church. And he said in verse 3, "For you're yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" So the apostle had to deal with this in this church. Notice again in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, to the same church, just a different letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just going to read one verse. Notice with me in verse 20. He says here in verse 20. He says, "For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults." He goes on to say some other things. But notice the wording in this one verse. These are works of the flesh. Turn with me to Galatians 5 while you're near there. In Galatians chapter 5. So strife is not only carnal, but we find it here in this passage, it is a work of the flesh in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit. In verse 19, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." We have strife in the list with envyings, murders, drunkenness, idolatry, witchcraft, and adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Then if we back up to verse 13, we find here that he says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now watch this. We're talking about in 1 Corinthians 1, it's carnal. Here it's of the flesh. It can destroy churches. Here, notice in verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another," this is mostly with words, "take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." There's a solution to strife, walking in the Spirit. He said in verse 17, he said, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." So again, we see how grievous of a sin that this is. Well, turn with me to James, in the book of James. Notice with me, first of all, in chapter 1. James chapter 1. Here's a few other verses if you're taking notes. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 5. Let nothing be done in strife or vain glory. In the same context, we're to put on the mind of Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, strife is contrary to wholesome words. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26, strife is the opposite of gentleness, patience, and meekness. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, we are to follow peace. And we was in Sunday night, Matthew 5 and verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Well, notice here in James, and by the way, another good passage, the word strife is not there, but in Ephesians chapter 4, I made mention of this also Sunday night. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Are we ministering with our words? Are we edifying with our words? Or contending without a cause? Notice in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I made mention of this also Sunday night. I don't think we turned here. But notice in verse 19 and 20, verse 19 and 20, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We know that strife is associated with wrath and anger and hatred. Notice in chapter 3. In chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, there's that word again. He said, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We see the opposite side of the spectrum here. Notice as we come to chapter 4, and we'll close here in the first three verses. So strife is not of God, but from the Adamic nature, birthed out of hell. And we see so much of it in our world today. Again, it's in families. It destroys marriages, destroys homes, it destroys nations. And you, I don't suggest you do this, but just go listen to the rhetoric of nations. Always strife, arguing about things. And eventually, it will lead to war if it's not solved. Now, as we come here, we see very clearly where the strife and fightings and so forth comes from. It comes from the lust of the heart. Reading in chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? This is where it comes from. It comes from the heart. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. The word ask amiss there means to ask wrongly, improperly, or selfishly. So, I just felt led tonight to go through these verses with you on the subject of strife. Those are subjects that we need to meditate upon and think about it and be very careful and choose our words, whether it's our family, our spouse, our children, our co-workers, or someone in church or anywhere else. We need to be very careful with that. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you tonight for thy word. And Lord, even the repetition that's in it, that you continuously remind us how much you love us, but you also remind us of how much that we're to love you and that we're to walk in obedience to you. Lord, help us to be careful with our words, with our attitude, with our hearts, with our actions. Lord, help us to obey the Scripture. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.